your love for us. Thank you for helping us to live as children of light, like we saw with Tom Grimm's life. He's living as a child of the light in this situation that you've brought into his life. Lord, help us as we study this passage today. Help us to glean from it what we need for living our life for you this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 5 through 10. So just 6 verses today. And the theme of this passage is fellowship with the Word of Life. Fellowship with the Word of Life. So 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. You know, many people in today's world have no idea who God is. I had a conversation with one of my neighbors just yesterday, and it didn't take me long to figure out that, hey, this guy has never read the Bible and never been around Christians very much, and it was just a different conversation and talking with him. You know, surveys have been done in the United States, and it's a changing time that we live in. And the surveys tell us that people say that they have, on the average, one spiritual conversation per year. And if you're not in a church or you don't have Christian friends, you're kind of isolated, one spiritual time, one conversation per year where you hear about Jesus. So it's not easy for people to understand what God is like and what these verses that we're reading today mean. So when Paul is writing this, or John is writing this, he wants us to make sure that we understand what he's talking about. He says in verse 5 that God is light. That's the way it says that in English, but in Greek it says God light is. God light is. So there is an emphasis on this at the very beginning of these verses. God light is. That means that God is absolutely holy, that God is pure, that God is true, that God produces life in people. And as light, God reveals things to us. He reveals mistakes and things that are impure. You know, I noticed a couple things when I looked in the mirror this morning and I turned the light on that I hadn't noticed before. And the light kind of reveals those things. And sometimes there are things that we don't want to see and we're kind of ignoring. But as we put more and more light on those things, we find out, oh, that's really there. That's really a part of what is part of reality. Well, things that are dark and sinful have no contact with God. And it also says that in a very emphatic way in the Greek. It says, and darkness in him not is none. So it's like a double negative there telling us, hey, God is has nothing to do with sin. He's other. He's different than what we see around us. So John wanted to make that crystal clear to his readers that, you know, folks, this is what it's going to be like as you come to know God and you know him better. And this is what it's going to be like when you have an intimate relationship with him. It's not reproducible in any other way. So as they read this text that we read today, you can almost use it as a test to determine whether a person has true fellowship with God or not. And so fellowship or koinonia is the object or the goal of the entire letter, and he's going to point that out to us in these six verses. It's natural that John would start with this topic to explain and help us to put into practice this practical message that he had received from Jesus, the Son of God. So today we're going to look at three elements necessary to have fellowship with the Word of Life. Three elements necessary to have fellowship with the Word of Life. The first thing I found was honesty with others. Honesty with others. Look at verses 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with who? With one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In verses 5 through 10, there are three verses that begin with the saying, if we claim, or if we say. They're verses 6, 8, and 10. It's interesting, they're all in the aorist tense in the Greek language. It's the normal tense for Greek, and it's a past action that is completed. So in the past, they have said, if we claim or if we say, and those are all problem statements. They are all things that people say that are not true. They're lies that people say, either to God or to other people or to themselves. And in this passage that we read, there are two other verses, verses 7 and 9, that are like, they offer like antidotes for this snake-bitten condition that people are in. I grew up around Mohicanville. We had a lot of snakes down there. My great-grandmother actually died from a snake bite, so I know what that's like. Snake-bit people, you know, that have this poison in them that keeps them away from God. And these are antidotes for that condition that we'll read about today. Well, let's look first of all at the first lie that we find in this passage in verse 6. Verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness. It's the present tense of the Greek verb here. So it's like it's continuing. If we continue to walk in darkness, it's like every day. If we continue to walk in this darkness every day, we are practically not living by the truth and not doing the truth. God's word does not affect our behavior. That is bad. That's the first lie. We're claiming to others that we have fellowship with God and that we're not living it out. You know, that's really, you know, it's really dangerous to do that for our kids. It's really dangerous for other people who are thinking about becoming Christians to see our lives for living that way. It's really like poison if people see that. They need to see people who are consistent in their walk with Jesus. So the antidote that I found is walking in the light. That's verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. So that's the antidote, walking in the light. And this walk begins with a step of faith when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, because He alone is the light that's out there in this world for us. This walking involves continual process in our relationship with Him. Step by step, adjusting our thinking and our behavior to align with what Jesus tells us we should be like in the Bible. You know, it's allowing Jesus to take control of different areas of our lives, or maybe the same areas to a greater extent. Staying in close contact with Jesus always. And practically, that means reading our Bibles. It means praying, talking with God, and meeting with other believers. His blood, when we do those kind of things, continually cleanses us from all sin. It's part of the sanctification process. It's a way we grow, be more like Jesus when we do those things. You can kind of see it in our church. You know, there are opportunities for people to hear the word and believe, but we also have these other things that we do throughout the week. You know, we have men's group where we invite guys together and we eat a lot and we do things together. So guys can kind of rub shoulders and confront each other, but also encourage each other. And the ladies, too, have Bible studies where they pray together, they talk together. We have things for our kids. And, you know, the people who come to a church and they involve themselves in those kind of activities are the ones that grow, the ones that really begin to see fruit in their lives. And so we need to really take this seriously. Be honest with others, honest with God, honest with Jesus, honest with other people about how we're really walking in our lives throughout the week. Have any of you ever noticed how a sunflower grows? You know, those big, they're kind of big plants, really, sunflowers. Well, in the morning, it faces east, doesn't it? I have a sunflower, a flower down there. It's kind of like that, only they're bigger. And every morning, it'll face the east. And then as the sun goes across the sun, across the sky, that sunflower will follow the sun all the way to the evening. And it's pointed in the west in the evening. So it is like enamored with the sun. You know, can't get enough of the sun, of the sun. And it can't resist moving in harmony with that light. You know, likewise, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we fall in love with God's dear Son. We receive attention from Him moment by moment, and we want Him to receive our attention moment by moment. We walk in the light of His person and His example. And the joy of that fellowship with Him is in our life, and it's visible. The blood of Jesus Christ takes on a new and expanded meaning in continually, all the time, cleansing us from the tendencies of our old natures. And that's a process that's done with the Word of God, in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, but also with God's people. God's people. You know, it's really tough, I think, to grow by yourself in a corner someplace. We really need God's people together in order to do that. So the first element necessary to have fellowship with the Word of Life is honesty with others. Verses 6 through 7. The second point, honesty with ourselves. Verses 8 through 9. Honesty with ourselves. Verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, it's like if we say to ourselves we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So the second lie is that we deceive ourselves by claiming not to sin. And the Greek word, the Greek sentence there says, we say that sin we not have. Not we have is the literal way it's put there. Not we have. So the truth is not in us. We are fooling ourselves. The truth is that we do have sin, that we do sin as Christians. And the second antidote for this snake-bitten situation is confession of our sins. It talks about it in verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, and confession means to admit, to say the same thing as God is saying. And this confession is directly to God. This is not to a priest. A priest can't help us with our sin, but Jesus can forgive our sins. We say the same thing that God says about our sin. That's confession. We don't blame others. We don't blame our circumstances. We don't blame our situation. We take responsibility ourselves for our sins. And you know, when we confess our sins to Him, and the word there, confess, is in the continuous tense. So it's not just a one-time thing, but we do this throughout our lives as Christians, don't we? We continually confess our sins to Him, then He forgives and cleanses us. Aorist tense. This is something that's happened in the past. It's over with. He has gone to the cross and He has paid the price for our forgiveness and for the cleansing that He offers to us. That defilement that we experience is washed away. It's blotted out, and He restores us to fellowship with His Son. And there's a story told about that after the death of Abraham Lincoln, we all know that he was assassinated, right? 16th president of the United States was assassinated. Well, there was a conversation between Mrs. Lincoln and John Parker, who was Abraham Lincoln's bodyguard. And Mrs. Lincoln said to John Parker, "Where were you?" And John Parker said, "I thought no one would harm so good of a man. And so it made me careless." He said, "I've gone to God and I've repented this for this over and over again. I can't change what happened." And Mrs. Lincoln looked at him and said, "You had no right to be careless." And she didn't offer him any excuse for what he had done. But she said, "It's not you that I can't forgive. It's the assassin." And she said, "You can leave now." Well, her son, Tad Lincoln, overheard that conversation. And he said this, "If Paul had lived, he would have forgiven the man who shot him. Paul forgave everybody." When we confess our sins, Christ forgives everybody. Christ forgives anywhere. Christ forgives of anything that we do if we confess our sins to Him. We have to be honest with God. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I guess I let it out, but that's my last point. Honesty with God in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "If we claim we have not sinned, we have made Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our lives." So the third lie is that we claim we have not sinned. And we have claimed that we have not sinned. We have never sinned. You ever met people like that? I've met people like that and say, "I'm not no sinner. I've never sinned." I thought, whoa, this guy is like holy, or this gal is like holy. But you know, God has made provision for sinners. God is saying that they're sinners because they have sinned. And that person is saying something in verse 8 that makes the situation worse. than we saw earlier in the earlier verse. And by his words, he's making God out to be a liar. And the word of God has no place in his life. The word of God is not influencing his thinking. The word of God has no impact upon his life. And so they are somewhere out in left field, and they're thinking about sin, and they're thinking about God. Well, there's an antidote for that type of thinking. It's the third antidote we find in the passage, and that is to get the word of God into our lives. It doesn't come right out and say it, but we can see it as implied earlier. To start taking what God says seriously, to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and allow his blood to cleanse us from all the sins that we have committed. It says that in the last part of verse 7. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. We have to come to God and be honest with him, not lie to God. God already knows, not lie to God about where we really stand. There's a story told about a woman who was on crutches, and she was struggling to get out of an office building that maybe you've heard about. It was on the 64th floor of the World Trade Center, tower number 2. You know, they had to go down a lot of steps to get out of that building. And the people that worked with her in her office tried to help her, but she was making slow progress down those steps. And then out of nowhere, this guy named Lewis stepped up. He said, "We can't wait anymore." He just picked her up and put her on her shoulder and started carrying her down those steps. And they got to the 15th floor. A security guard told Lewis to leave the woman because they were out of danger. But he refused and stuck with her until she got into the ambulance. You know, she had no choice but to lean on somebody that she didn't even know. She barely knew to get her down those steps. Her rescuer proved worthy of her trust. God is worthy of our trust. Let's be honest with him. Don't make him out to be a liar. He is the one who's provided the antidote for all these things that we do when we're not honest with others, we're not honest with ourselves, we're not honest with him. How about you? How would you rate yourself on knowing what God is like? Hopefully you'll be better off than this guy that I talked to yesterday. But I think I'm going to have another chance to talk with him before, you know, God comes for his life or for my life. We'll see. And secondly, what's your fellowship with him like? It's really important for Christians to have koinonia, to have fellowship with Jesus and with other Christians. And thirdly, are you walking in the light? Are you walking according to what Jesus says is right? You know that. I know that. We all know that inside. Our conscience speaks to us about those things. Fellowship with the Word of Life can find life nowhere else except in the person of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. And you know, he's coming back. He's coming back soon. And hopefully he'll find us worthy of what he's done for us. And he'll be able to say with us, "Well done, good and faithful servants," as we see him face to face. You got to trust him, though. You got to decide sometime in your life, "I want Jesus. I want him to be Lord and Savior of my life." If you're here today and you've never made that decision, you know, really think about this seriously, because it's the most important thing that you or I can do. Tom Grimm did that. And look at the help that Jesus was for his life as he goes through this difficult time with his family, with all his friends, and everything that he's known. He can trust in Jesus, and so can we. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the offer of fellowship, sweet fellowship with you that satisfies, that's different than anything else that we could experience in this life anywhere else. The only true life is found in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Okay, please stand for the final hymn. Jesus is Lord of all.